The graph is back in the room.
Here.
Excellent.
Pledge of Allegiance. Yes. Pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Angelina, that's my announcement. I got a new cat yesterday.
Oh, that's wonderful. Congratulations.
Yeah. He likes us. But he hit it all day yesterday. Okay. Public comment. Do we have any public to make a comment? We don't have any public. Okay. Chair's comments. No. Let's see. Our next board meeting is going to be
Public hearing.
The public hearing is the 13th, October 13th.
Oh, right. Yep. Yeah, okay.
And then board meeting is October 27th.
Right, yeah. I got tripped up by this one. I couldn't remember why we made it the third Thursday. But
I had asked in an email if we could move that up an hour or two.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't have
a problem. That's fine with me.
But just let us know.
So what time do you want to do it? Because we can schedule it.
As long as I'm out of here by 4 at the latest. So, I mean, we could do it at 3. I mean, we could do it at 2. It would give me plenty of time.
Is this for the 13th you're talking about?
No. This is for the 27th.
We should probably wait till Tom and Margo get here.
That's going to be our first meeting with Greg, too. Yeah. So,
which one are you talking about?
We could start at 1 and have lunch or something, welcoming.
Tom is working a lot, and Margo is working a lot, so... let's just wait and see what time they can make it.
Okay, yeah. Well, we'll talk about that a bit. Okay, let's see. Minutes. Did everyone get to review the minutes? Did you get comments back in the minutes? Okay. I usually do a good job, but I don't think I looked at the last ones.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes as presented.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
3-2 abstentions.
Okay. So we'll discuss the timing of the board meeting.
This is the public hearing you're talking about, the 13th?
No, the 27th.
Oh.
We could always work it out through email, too, if everyone's okay with that.
Right. Well, we'll figure
What's
it out.
What's the issue? We want to move it up, time-wise?
I just have to be out of here by 4 o'clock that day.
Okay. Start at 3:30.
Yeah, and I won't be here at that meeting. Just so we're in it. I'll be down in Florida.
Man.
Wow.
Do you need
there?
Somebody to carry your bags or anything?
I do.
Here comes Margo. Let the record show Margo Becker is at the board meeting.
Right. And 4:05.
So let me ask you, while we wait a minute, what should we expect from the public hearing regarding the draft budget of 2023?
Jim, we have only had one time where anybody's shown up.
And that was when we were raising
The town original town agreements were running out, so there was a big to-do about that because the board at the time, especially the chairman, was actually talking about getting out of collecting the towns altogether. And really a lot of that also had to do with we needed to make investments in equipment. So they needed to make an investment on the contract side. So they were hammering out a lot of details. So we had a lot of residents who thought that we ran the transfer stations at the towns. So they showed up and asked not to shut down the transfer stations. So, but other than that, we usually come here
by ourselves.
And we hang out for about 10, 15 minutes to wait to see if anybody shows up. We usually leave it open to receive emails or anything after that fact. And that's it. Maybe somebody shows up this time, but it's only happened once.
Have you heard any feedback?
I don't know.
Well, he's running for town of Ulster. He's running for the town executive now, so he's going to have less time. If he's running a serious race, he's going to have less time. Has anybody, since the news went out, even unofficially, about the increase in the tipping fee, have you heard any feedback?
No, the only email I got was from Rich Parody, who was the supervisor at Marbletown, who actually thanked me for all the hard work, and that was it. I haven't heard.
Darn.
Else.
I think Doug was happy with it too. From
the guy who was
here. Yeah.
I think he was okay. They were, like I said, they were all fine for us. So I think when you guys actually, all ended up going up the extra dollar over that. I think that's why I haven't heard anything.
Right.
So I think
okay.
It's probably okay. Yeah.
And they sat and saw that we you know, it wasn't like we just decided it on a whim, you know.
Yeah, that meeting was excellent. It's one of the better meetings I think we've ever had here, actually, the budget workshop, so.
Actually, toward the end of the meeting, we went down a dollar, because that was Catherine's.
So, yeah. But the full, to hear the full discussion with Jim, who represents everybody, and Doug is here. And
well, actually, we went down $2, because the original thing was 12, and then we went down to 11,
yep.
And then...
Yep.
10,
yeah.
Which I think made people feel that we weren't just pushing something.
And they heard it all hashed out, too.
Yeah.
It wasn't like we just decided, yeah, let's just arbitrarily.
Really valuable.
So it was good.
Thanks.
It was good to have it up on the screen and everything.
So yeah, I figured we'd give this a whirl at some point. If nobody wanted to do away with getting your packet and go by on the screen, we'll try and move towards that. Melinda and I had discussions about maybe getting the board members, you know, tablets that I have to sit here with rather to try and get away from paper, to go paperless.
Well,
but we already have the projector, so we'll try this first.
I'm into the projector. I don't need the tablet. I'd be so happy to not have these.
Yeah,
papers,
so
yeah.
Just let us know for the next meeting if you don't want the paper copies. We're not going to make copies, and we'll utilize the projector.
I'm a paper person.
That's fine.
Then you should get them. Only the people who don't want them.
I would settle for a tablet, but paper, I'm just more.
Let me tell you what
we'll
miss. We'll miss past reference, because I can go back to any meeting.
Well, no, you'll still have the copies. Melinda's still going to email them out. They're still on our website. You still have total access always. But if you want a paper copy, we can give you a paper copy. For sure.
Yeah, Charlie likes the paper stuff.
Well, I do.
I know.
That's okay. I can live with that.
Okay, we have a plan.
Okay.
How about the recycling outreach team?
Thank you. So, this month you'll see that we didn't have a lot of special classes or tours or outings or anything like that, but that's pretty normal for this time of year, the end of summer. That's kind of winding down again. We were invited to host a booth at the Phoenicia Farmers Market on September 11th, so Tanisi and I distributed a lot of recycling and composting information and gave away some of our free reusable items to the market goers, and a lot of the residents that we spoke to were very, very interested in composting, but were also very concerned about attracting bears and birds and pests in that area of the county. We were really delighted to learn that the farmers market has started a community composting initiative where residents can sign up to get a 3-gallon pail and fill their food scraps and bring it to the market for a clean bucket. And the food scraps that are collected through this program are taken to a local farm for composting. So that was great. Tanisi and I were also invited to be guests on Radio Kingston on a live talk show called The Black Meta. So Tanisi will be doing that. She'll be discussing inexpensive and easy tips for zero waste or low waste lifestyle. And that show will be live on September 27th. We were contacted by a local company called RBW Studios in Kingston. That's an independent design and lighting manufacturing company. And they contacted us because they were interested in starting an on-site composting program for their team of about 60 employees. So Tanisi and I did a site visit earlier this week, and we're working on our recommendations to send back to the company. And this is the third case study or site visit like this that we've done this year, but we really hope to do a lot more of them. So I'll just take the opportunity to mention businesses can contact us to consult on recycling, waste reduction, composting, and similar waste sustainability initiatives. And despite not having a lot of events or scheduled tours this month, we're preparing for a really busy October. I'll pass this around. We're offering 5 different programs and classes next month as part of our suite of fall classes. So please take advantage of that or reach me if you have any questions. And during this time of year also, while programs are kind of winding down, we turn our attention to updating our website. So Tanisi and I have been really busy with that the past few months. So a lot of updates to our pages for businesses, schools, landlords, our Recyclopedia, our home composting pages, our FAQ pages. There's a new page in there dedicated to our local solid waste management plan. So a lot of updating of the website during this kind of quote-unquote downtime. And so with that, I welcome any questions that you have.
Oh, I wanted to mention about the Clintondale Fire Department and the chicken
farm. I did see. You sent me the pictures.
They really did go to a lot of trouble to try to figure out how to get compostable food containers instead of using styrofoam.
Who is that? Whoever's that?
This is the Clintondale Fire Department down the street from me. And so they were having the chicken barbecue. And they haven't had it for a couple years because of COVID. So anyway, I had called the people I thought who were organizing, and they never called me back. So I was going to just go over everything with them. So I didn't talk to them until like a few days beforehand, and they did have compostable containers to put the food in. They couldn't get compostable silverware, so they got plasticware. And then when I actually got there, I discovered we had some other problems. The baked potatoes were wrapped in tin foil, so then now we've got added tin foil to the mixture. Then the butter was in little plastic containers. And I think if the butter had been maybe in one of those little like metal wrapping things, it might have been better to separate out. But it turned out that we weren't organized enough ahead of time to have different containers to put the different things in.
That's the secret.
And the compostable food containers with the leftover food and the chicken bones could have just, if we had kept that separate, then we could have probably brought that up to have a compost. But it turned out I just took it to the dump because it was just, I wasn't willing to separate it all out.
No.
I only had four bags, but I still...
It's all about getting the buckets up and the
right.
signage.
Yep.
You know, the Garlic Festival is going to be in zero waste this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's already at the beginning of October, so I think they'll
Good.
Do a good job.
Well, I hope they do it right. Have they talked to us at all?
Oh, of course, yeah. I've been in touch
good.
With Josephine, and we provided bin stickers for their
Great.
Sorting stations for trash, recycling, and food scraps. And we've been in touch a lot about compostable products and things like that.
Great. Well, the fire people are very interested in doing it right next year.
Did you refer them to
a lot about it, and so they're going to talk to me. We'll get Angie involved so we get it right. But they were definitely very interested in getting it right. And I talked to a guy who just lives around the corner, who is probably the person who will coordinate it all. So I know where he lives. He knows where I live. We know our names, so we ought to be able to get it right next year. So anyway, that's just one more thing. But all those things, I think, are critical to our mission to try to get, you know, the church dinners and all the other things like that, where there's containers and food and all kinds of stuff involved.
So it's really heartening people are starting to think that way. You know,
yes.
I mean, 10 years
it
ago,
really
nobody
is.
Would have really, you know,
right.
I mean, they could have been, they should have been, but it just seems like it's spreading a little bit more now, so that's heartening.
People are more and more aware of it all, which is great.
But it is sort of, as you said, like a one-by-one, sort of like this fire department got trained, but the other one didn't. Now that one has, you know,
right.
it's little,
yeah.
little bit at
mm-hmm.
a time. That's the hard thing.
Right. And if we have our little trailers and totes by then, that would be wonderful, too. You know, we can work that out with them. So. Oh, thank you. Oh, yes. Okay. Onward.
Well, we have the totes, right, Angie?
We do have the tote collection.
We don't have the
bins. We just don't have the trailers.
Let's get to the MSW.
Yes.
Okay, so August, we were over our target tons by 3,431, so I think I had extra mentions a couple weeks ago. That puts us up 14.5% over budget so far for the year. And this just confirms what we talked about with the budget and planning and surplus and spending, you know, approving spending the extra money on, like, the roll-off containers and that major grinder repair as well.
And Tim, do you think we'll come in 14? Or so over budget at the end of the year?
I think so.
And what is the financial, I mean, I guess I'm hungry for a little good news. What does that mean in terms of our bottom line?
We should see a surplus probably a little over 600,000. And that's why I said we should be okay with regards to purchasing those roll-off. Remember you had sent the question about,
yep.
hey, we budgeted 660,000,
yep.
but you got
right.
1.2, I think it was 1.2 or something.
Right.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about. Yep,
okay.
That's where it comes from.
But, Jim, we got a loader coming, just so you know. In about 2 weeks, I think, the loader is going to be here. And we also have a skid steer, I think, will be here somewhere in November.
And that was on the budget already.
Yeah. See, but they were already budgeted for,
yep.
right? Yeah.
Yep.
yeah.
But the amounts weren't originally
right.
budgeted
right.
for, because
yeah.
we had those increases we spoke about.
Yeah.
But we can handle them. So.
Great. Thanks.
Yep. On the recycling side, our Our food waste was what I wanted to point out. Most of the other numbers are pretty consistent. Food waste, though, for the year is up about 16% from the prior year.
16?
16% higher at the same time compared to last year. So that's good.
Do you or Angie have an idea why? Is it because we're being effective getting the order?
It's organics. It's our one customer. They represent like 2/3 of the volume we get in, and they've been bringing us more. They were off at the beginning of last year. You see these numbers from last year? 244, 103, 161, 213, 228, great. and then they started coming back to us, and the number pops up, and it's remained throughout here.
What kind of business is that?
Organics is waste, food scraps hauling, but they were actually purchased by Denali. Did you know that, Charlie?
Yeah, I did know that.
Yeah.
I knew that when they fell off a little bit, it was when that acquisition went through. So they go around and they collect all the, it's a lot of fruits and vegetables. Uh-huh. They did get into the plants and the potteries for the plants and stuff, so they did start bringing some of that stuff also from like Walmart and stuff, so you buy the potted plants. But it's mostly fruits and vegetables from like Stop and Shop, Sam's Club, Walmart, places like that.
How come I don't know about that?
No, it's a big company. They're a big company, and they bring us a lot of food waste. America Transport is another big player for us, and so is Waste Management, another big player for us. I think Royal brings
us. Waste Management just dropped off a load when I was down there. It was all huge, like loaves of bread.
They're doing about 300 tons of, that's from...
And do we think it's all from Ulster County, or are they collecting from other counties?
Waste Management's all from Ulster County.
Uh-huh. The other ones maybe?
The Omega Institute, Culinary.
Yeah.
I mean, these are all positive places, should be recycling food waste and stuff.
Sure.
And if we didn't, there's a lot of talk about out-of-county food waste. Well, if we didn't have this place, where would it go?
I don't care where it goes. The more the better.
Some people frown on that, but it's like, we do a great job, and if we weren't here, where would it go?
It would go in the garbage pail.
Some
more product for us to sell.
Organics materials is super clean source of demand. It's good on the produce right from the grocery store. Super clean.
All right.
I also want to point out, if we didn't get our modification, we would be over our permitted amount. So 26. I mentioned that the last time. I said we'd have to stop.
Can you show where that number is?
26,57,53.
So we were good only
for 25. So right now we would be stopping all food waste. But because we did get that modification for 5,000, we're good.
And do we have to do, how are we going to have to get more of a modification before the end of the year?
We're good now. We're fine.
Okay, great.
So we got bumped up to 5,000.
We haven't done 5,000 since we got close. 49, somewhere around
46. 46.
We got close, but we never hit the 5,000 mark. Over 5,000 is a lot of food waste.
And why is there a limit?
Because you have to show that you can manage it. It's part of the solid waste stream.
Okay. And can we manage? Could we manage more?
We wouldn't have got the modification. I say yes. So if you were gonna, I think we can. Honestly, I think we can handle 10,000 tons.
Cool. Go for it.
The food's got to come. You have to show a need. So you have to show you can manage it. You also have to show there's a need for it.
And the permit is from the state.
From the state DEC. Yeah. Okay.
It's a part of our existing permit.
Yeah, it's a modification to our permit.
Because it's on the footprint.
It's a modification to our permit.
DEC would never approve 100% increase. So if we went 5,000, they would never say okay, go to 10,000. They would always do a phased approach.
Yeah, we would do
so. We would probably go 7,500,
and then again.
We did it on this because the amount of equipment that the agency purchased and the volumes we could handle to them, it was glaring that we could handle 5,000.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So you also you have to show that the traffic, right? The extra traffic that you can manage the extra traffic.
Right. So if we want to incrementally increase, then we have to show next year a little more.
Well, you will have to show a need. So the DEC is going to want to see that you actually need it. They're not going to give it to you.
You know what's really interesting about that? Sorry to jump in.
Mm-hmm.
But New York State DEC bases its list of large food scrap generators off of available capacity of composting facilities. So there are large generators that, under the law, would be required to compost. But they base who is required to compost off of the available capacity. So there's a list now. They've revised it to those that are required to donate excess food only and those that are required to recycle. And most of them are only required to donate. So I think that's a really interesting approach, and it really ties into what you were saying about available capacity, demonstrating a need. So I think the fact that we've gone up to 5 kind of opens the door to maybe get more of those large box stores in Ulster County, regulated under the law, which they're currently really not. They get waivers to say, you know, that component of the law, they're not required to comply
with. And is the waiver, it's not only based on capacity, though. There are other reasons why they...
Hardship is a big part of it.
Hardship is usually...
Yeah, listen, honestly, the DEC, and I'm not going to speak for them, but I'll tell you what some discussions were. They realized, right, ANZAC was kind of flawed a little bit because everybody's had hardship. They can't do it.
Right.
So they made it too easy to opt out.
I think what they landed on was 10%. If the cost to do organics recycling is 10% or more than the cost to throw it out as trash, then you would just automatically get a waiver if you demonstrated that.
So how does that relate to the Ulster County food waste law, which maybe doesn't have those kinds of exemptions?
There is still a waiver process and waiver elements that would be considered for that, but I think it's worth noting too that this year the Ulster County law is supposed to tick down again every year starting in January, so there will be a whole new list of businesses in that cohort.
Is it down to half a ton now?
I believe it's 0.75 is where we are now.
So
being able to show that there's
a
demonstrated need for that. Well, it's not required to come to our facility,
right,
but they're required to figure out what their solution is going to be. So.
Well, there's no enforcement either, Marco, on the Ulster County food waste law.
Right.
So that has never really been addressed. I mean, it's been addressed, actually, but, you know, nobody's really concluded what they're going to do to make people and businesses and restaurants recycle food waste. I will say this. The state is becoming, and I don't know if I necessarily agree with this, but the state is talking about modifying the regulations and becoming more aggressive with regards to food waste. So they're talking about, like, if we see a packer come in with food waste, we're supposed to turn it away.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Larry?
Yeah.
So that's
yet. Didn't Greg tell us that they did in California?
I don't know.
Where, like, you weren't allowed to put food waste.
That was something
I think so.
That would make sense because they have a whole, I forget the name of the law, but they have a law that I think New York is going to move toward. Very far reaching and is kind of a pain for people in the municipal. They have a whole online course for municipal officials on how to deal with this law that I started watching, and it's really complicated.
Yeah, so Dave Vitale is where I heard that from
this past
weekend.
Well, that's probably where it's coming. I don't know where it's coming from.
Talking about it, so if you see it, you're supposed to, first of all, how do you know, right? It's a packer. You don't know until it's on the floor. You can't get it back in the packer. There's a little disconnect.
Well, get a new machine that puts it back in the packer.
Vacuum.
I mean, and is there any way that, like, that information, clearly whoever wrote that bit of policy doesn't work at
That's all recycling. So single stream, we've had this happen. Somebody unloaded.
Right.
Newburgh was down. I mean, not Newburgh. Beacon was down, and it was a whole load of single stream. Larry and I went and investigated it. It's like, how do you get it back in the packer? We don't know. You can't. It's on the floor.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, is there any way we can affect some of the policy that's being made? You know, just with not as advocates, but as experts who understand that this is not going to be effective because we don't know what's in the load until it's done. Do you see what I'm saying?
Don't they have a comment period if they're doing regulations changes? Right?
Yeah. So we could, that's.
But here's the thing. So when you say that though, then they do nothing. So they're trying to do something.
I think that's throwing up your hands, and I don't think that.
No. If we say to them, in the comment period, how would you know? You know what I mean? You don't know until it's on the floor and you can't get it back in the packer.
And here are suggestions for what would be a better solution.
I don't know what the solution to that
is.
Other than talking to the hauler.
You know, I'm not asking you to come up with a solution for this one thing. I'm saying this is something that we could be doing to try and affect the landscape, you know, whenever there's a question that comes up on various different issues. You know, we're the experts. We should think it through. We should try and add something that makes it a better policy. No? I think
always.
We could think about it. Always. Always. So let's have that on the table.
Okay, ready for the treasurer's report.
Sure. Month of August, we did 13,182 tons of MSW, 3,225 tons of C&D. I actually don't have any revenue or expense line items of note.
So super helpful when you use that little pointer to point to the numbers.
Uh-huh. That one.
Thank you.
13,182, 3,225. Total revenue for the month was $2,090,496. As I said, there's nothing really on the expense line that is drastically different to point out. So total expenses, operating expenses for the month is $1,655,625, which gave us a big net operating revenue and fund balance for the month of positive $434,871. So it brought our year-to-date fund balance to a deficit of only $170,618. So we should cross over in September to the positive. And you see, we're only off of last year by $207,000, but we also last year had a reserve last year we had a reserve transfer in of $146,000, which is, you know, a good chunk of that difference that we don't have this year. So, but generally speaking, August, September is usually where we have crossed over in years past. So we're right on target with some of the forecasting that I've done as part of budget season.
Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the treasurer's report?
Accept the treasurer's report as presented.
Okay,
I move.
Charlie.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 It's 4-0, 1 no show.
Okay, off to the Merch Center.
Yep. So, sale recyclables. We have our news, our OCC. Yep, it's tin cans. UBC, you see, this is the third time we've sold the UBCs this year. That's good. So total sale recyclables for the month is $50,985. We have our transport and disposal related costs, $5,280. $4,032 is glass recycling. Still going down the beacon. $41,673 is our net revenue for...
Hey, do you know what's happening to the glass when you send it down to Beacon?
You send it to Pennsylvania. It's going to
to a dump?
No. That's why we pay so much.
Uh-huh.
No.
Where
it's going to Beacon. It's going to Pennsylvania. And Republic has their own place in Pennsylvania where they sort the glass by color and they send it to market.
Okay.
So to make new glass.
Great.
So we've been very successful with that, even back when we were sending it to Ecolit, and where was the other place we were sending it to? Not Green County, but the other place we were sending it to?
Pace.
So Pace was also making a product out of it, down in New Jersey.
But is Pace still,
no.
They're not around, right?
No.
Yeah.
There's another place in Connecticut. We just don't have enough glass for them to
do
the logistics.
Only, if I can go back real quick since we're talking about the glass. You can see we don't do a lot of glass. The C-52, 32, 47. So, geez, 45 tons a month on average. We did 587 last year. And this is the glass from the towns that they separate out. But you see some of the numbers, 697, 545, 496, 498. So we don't do a lot. We don't do a lot of glass compared to some of these other numbers that you see.
So if you look at like year to date, like let's pick Rochester, right? They did 54 tons of glass, right? So you're looking at about $4,500 it cost us. It's zero for them, $4,500 for us. Pull charges, we get about $600. So
you know, we're still 39 in the red, 900 in the red.
But
so,
like you said, in order to make it be turned into something.
Yeah, but my point is as though that's a benefit for the town. So while right. we do the towns cheaper than anybody, and the service that we provide on pickup, and also.
Do they know that?
These
are things
that
they should know. You know, this is a benefit for the town. The town should know that.
Probably not specifically. No, probably not recently. So I would say, because the supervisors change like every 2 years, you know, so like town board members or whatever. So it probably something that would have to be reiterated. So
maybe and we the can markets help, change a lot, too. It's kind of steadily gone down over the last few years for glass. It used to not be so expensive.
You know, maybe we can help Greg a little bit by compiling a list of what we do to benefit the towns. pardon me, because he wants to make a, you know, he wants to go and meet the Town Supervisors Association. So, just an idea, so that, you know, he can start turning the tide against people who are still anti-RRA, and they start to realize, oh, look, they do this for us, they do that for us. And just make it a little easier for him.
Yeah, I know that's his initial goal, is right. to meet with staff to educate right. himself.
And since it seems like in this room there's a lot of expertise about what we are doing, you know, rather than have him rediscover the wheel, mm-hmm. maybe we can lay it out for him.
Yep, I think he's on board with exactly what you're saying. Yep.
Okay.
So personnel for the month was $52,582. Operating costs for the month was $12,241. So total personnel and operating was $64,823, which gave us a net loss for the month of $23,150. Year to date, we are right around break even, positive $1,044. As you'll see on the graphs here, you'll see some trends. They're markets, and right now the markets are trending down. OCC, the hard mix that we get from the city of Kingston, Mixed News, those are the three regular markets that we, or products that we sell out to market, and this is what happens. We're trending down. Plastic, right, Charlie, is trending down, and I don't have any that we sold here to illustrate, but it is also trending down right now. So
I've read that it's plummeting down. Is that true, Charlie?
It is. That is true. Sometimes it's so fast. You know, how do you go from 38 cents down to 3? In a couple of weeks. I will say this. All my domestic markets on cardboard canceled me this past week. Mm-hmm. So they didn't say, well, only we're going to pay less. They canceled. Mm-hmm. So because the domestic market is saturated right now. So I'm still getting rid of some stuff for $25 a less, $25 a ton less export. But, you know, it's
but nothing like 09, right? Or just
you know, that's what makes recycling so difficult, you know, because the markets tend to fall fast and they stay down for a long time, and that's why there's places out there that are not building new MRFs.
Yep, we've seen before. Fortunately, unfortunately. That's all I got as far as reports.
Okay.
I do have old business that Melinda ended up bringing to my attention. I think it was Tom asked a question when we were doing the budget, talking about those contingency accounts. So I pulled our original escrows, and in section 2.08, these escrow agreements had to do with the three closed landfills, so Lloyd, which we're no longer responsible for, New Paltz, and Ulster. Ulster, we are going to have to be responsible for that, probably, as long as the DC says. But New Paltz, it'll go back to New Paltz.
What's the date on that, 2025?
Yeah, March 1st, 2025. So Tom's question was, well, what happens to those funds we were talking about transferring when that happens, specifically New Paltz? So in section 208, use of money is in the monitoring and contingency fund, which is exactly, what we're talking about. And it states any balance remaining in the monitoring and contingency funds shall, without further authorization, be paid to the agency, which may apply said balance for any appropriate purpose. So that money that we currently have, I think it's like $456,000 in the contingency account. And we're talking about moving reserves of about $90,000 extra. We can budget it if we need to, because we had it for this year, but we didn't need to. That money would revert back to us in 2025. So,
do we think it's going to stay around that amount?
If we But I think we usually that I think we usually right now we get about $500 in interest a month. So.
Oh.
So it's a $6,000 a year. It keeps going up for the next couple of years. So.
Well, doing my recycling, I ran into the supervisor of Newport, because I live in Newport.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems to think the DEC is going to step in and say, no, the RRA is going to keep this. So, I mean, that I don't know. You know, as a taxpayer, I was a little worried, because I'm like, well, what if they don't? But so, just so you know, so do we have enough money? Like, what are the ramifications of that?
Is it the just... So, DEC is going to say that the responsibility for post-closure is going to continue. That's going to happen.
DEC don't care.
But the whose responsibility and liability it is reverts back to the town of New Paltz. So this is one of the things that, you know, we did try to discuss with him. You understand you've got a huge liability coming. So if that's what he thinks, we're going to have the lawyers involved in arguing.
The state can't force you to take the town's responsibility. So it's a contracted agreement at the end of 2025, right? The end of 2025?
When the bonds are paid off.
Yeah.
Liability.
So that goes away. So
and
Neil
expense,
is on.
Just like happened at Lloyd.
Right. And then the expense is that New Paltz becomes responsible for getting rid of the leachate coming out of the
correct.
Landfill.
Or if there's anything that happens there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We've got cap slides that need to be repaired.
Monitoring, which we do every year, right?
Yeah, the testing.
And we
want to
put the solar on top there, which we don't know how that's going
to
affect it.
Environmental liability policy they will have to purchase, which carries a $100,000 deductible.
Mm-hmm. So does that mean we oversee it, but they pay for it?
No.
Right now, we have responsibility for it, both the liability
and
any payments that need to be done. But
and
that reverts back to the town
so
after the
bonds. So the town's going to do it, but do they have the expertise to do it?
I don't know.
Lloyd didn't, right?
They better
and now
start.
They are. So, right, so you find a way. You know,
they
we never had expertise on post-closure landfills, but we learned to do it.
Yeah.
So, Jim, one of the things I'd like to point out that if Neil was correct, Lloyd would have done it to us. They didn't want that responsibility. We'd still be dealing with Lloyd. So Neil's 100% wrong, and you're 100% right for being concerned about it, because it's just the insurance alone.
And we tried to open up that we did open up that discussion last year. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. So, Tom, and if you get a chance, you talk to Tom about that as well, since you guys are both residents, and we've had that Charlie and I both have had a lot of discussions about.
If I may, just ask an attorney question. As a taxpayer in New Paltz, this concerns me, but also as a board member, it concerns me. So what kind of fine line am I walking by when I talk to the supervisor and say, hey, wait, get your act together? It seems okay to me, but I just don't want to, you know.
Well, they should get their town attorney involved to look at the contract,
What I'm saying from my point of view as a board member, am I crossing a line, you know, because I have a direct financial.
You mean opening their eyes?
Yeah.
No.
No? Okay. You know, I read those regulations on the OBA or whatever it's called, the
ABO.
Yeah, ABO.
Yep.
So long ago, I just wanted to make sure, because they were very clear that, you know, you don't want to have a financial interest, and if you do, you should disclose it.
I think it's a direct financial interest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So say you worked at or own the engineering firm that might potentially be, you know, that works with the town and might ultimately be responsible and take on business.
But just as a taxpayer, that doesn't.
Yeah. But if you, I would say for you personally, you feel as a resident of the town getting involved in this discussion, if you feel personally that there's an issue, I would recuse yourself.
Right.
If you have an issue. Yeah.
But that's why we have, like, Jim, that's why we have, like, you know, when we have board members, right, they're from different areas. So maybe from Rochester, Catherine's from Platicoat.
Right.
That's
you
the
know.
Concept.
Yeah, so you're here, right, serving the board, but you're also from that area, so you have an interest there.
Right.
For sure.
Right.
And you inherently are going to run into that, but that's why there are, you know, options like
you. No, you can tip them off to anything that you think is going to be detrimental to taxpayers, sure.
Okay.
There's no problem.
Okay.
Jim, we hit on this just the last time. You know, the DEC's inactive landfill program has been out sampling all of these old landfills and adjoining properties for PFAS contamination. It is showing up everywhere. So, you know, it wouldn't be, you know, a stretch for DEC to go, no, you're going to continue with post-closure monitoring because we have this newly, fairly newly, you know, detected problem.
Tim, while we're on the subject of New Paltz, what's happening with their solar farm? Is that developing?
A lot of no.
Nothing.
They said it was going to be a while, a couple of years. So.
thank you for your patience with all that, everybody.
Jim, I will say, if when we leave New Paltz, it, you know, we're going to leave them in a lot better shape than, you know, than we have been in a long time, as far as pumps and panels and tanks and stuff like that there, you know. So we've really, really done a good job of keeping up with that stuff. So.
Secondary containment, alarms.
Everything. Yeah.
Gates.
Yeah. New Roads. Business.
Yeah. Right. Any new business?
I do not have any new business.
Do you want to talk about the problem with the recycling getting into the garbage and trash and going to the landfill?
Well, my thought is, because we have a new executive director coming in, that rather than have to repeat the entire discussion and get his input, that I think we're probably better off just waiting.
Yes, yeah.
I think so too.
You know,
that's his truck out there, by the way.
Oh, really? I was wondering. It's a nice truck.
Yeah, when is he actually arriving?
I believe he might be here today. Because originally he said he might be here on the 22nd.
So I tried to find out. I emailed him saying, are you renting or are you leasing? And what is he doing? Is he bringing his family?
I don't know. He'll be in tomorrow here to pick up his truck and to say hi to everybody and everything. I know he's going to stop in and talk to him.
Does he know if he's bringing the family in or not?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, no.
You're all in the car with the two dogs coming.
Well, he must have some place to rent, right? He's got to.
We don't know.
But it's serious,
huh? He's a smart guy. I figured he's not going to be camping.
Residence info.
Yeah, I saw a house for lease in Tilson yesterday as I was cruising through Tilson. I didn't know where he was planning to live. I thought he was going to try to rent something furnished, and they were going to put all their belongings in storage. But I'm not sure if that's what's actually going to happen. I thought I might give him a call tonight and ask him. But if they're not here yet, they'll be nearby.
I've been in the housing market for 2 years, and it is extremely brutally tight.
Right.
No
and
kid.
Really
and
difficult.
Now with interest rates from 3 to 6%.
Yeah, it's difficult. And
he
makes more money
than you, though.
Yeah, but that doesn't. That
There's
might not matter
there.
Right
yeah.
now.
Right.
That's the type of market that it is, because everyone from New York City has more money than him.
Yeah. They're paying $300,000.
You know what I mean?
$300,000 for stuff in what I, the Furnace Street, the Henry Street in Kingston. Now
I saw that.
Even renting an apartment is extremely hard. There's
1.5%
vacancy in the city.
And that's all that's left for sale.
Which under 5% is considered a housing crisis. So it's really, like, even just finding something to rent is really difficult. So give him a lot of credit.
But getting back to Dr. B's question, I think you're on the right target. You know, we do need to talk about that and talk about it extensively. But, you know, I just think let's wait till he comes aboard, because he may also have some ideas. Maybe he knows some stuff that worked down in California. Who knows?
But I'm really eager to have all those kinds of conversations, so it should be fun for us. Yeah.
Okay, at the moment at hand, we have how much compost sitting out there?
So probably almost 1,000 tons.
Wow. How much more capacity do we have to store?
We have another bay that we can open up, right?
How big is the bay?
We have two huge piles we have to screen also, and we still got about six.
But there's
holes.
An open bay that we can construct next to where the current pile is, right? So that would say, I would say you could double that to another 1,000 or more.
And how long would it take us to create another 1,000? I'm just wondering how tight the situation is.
From a storage standpoint, we should be okay, right, Chuck?
Tim, I don't know if we have. I'm trying to think in my mind if we already expanded there. I don't. To be honest with you, Tim, I don't know. I will say that, you know, we're putting, as you can see, we did 400 tons of food waste, so it's continuing to generate. So the three things were compost, the wood chips, the food waste, and you got to get rid of it. You know what I mean? The state
so
don't want it sitting around more than 3 years.
Are we is the getting rid of it the problem? Are we doing poorly on the getting rid of it?
No, we've sold over 2,200 ton. It's already more than last year. It's more than last year, and it's approaching 2020s. We sold just over 2,300.
So it's good. We're getting more. We're making more, and we're selling more. Mm-hmm. So all those things are moving. So we don't really have a problem.
We have 1,000 tons on site.
We still want to keep moving it.
We have 1,000 tons on site. And we still have about probably. I don't know, probably about another 2,000 yards worth of material to screen, and we still have six zones that will be coming off, so, and then we'll have more that's going on.
And I'm just assuming you don't sell as much coming up.
I don't think we're selling as much lately, are we, Tom?
We're not really selling anything.
Yeah, because it's that time of the year.
So nobody's really buying it this year.
Yeah, we're past this time of the fall of the year. I think we finished last year at around 1,200 tons.
A lot of the farmers are buying it now just to have it springtime, you know, just because they're afraid of it running out. So,
so they compost
it's probably
fall
the
spring,
largest
so.
Stockpile we've ever had.
Really?
Yeah. Going around a sale? I mean, I'm half kidding, but half not. I mean, is there something we can
do? We have like, done that before. 2017? We did April and May. We cut it in half and sold it for $15 a ton.
So here's what
and
we have.
And the next year, the people wanted to know right away if it was on sale.
So I just took this picture last week.
Wow,
that's Larry standing in front of the compost pile.
Uh-huh.
And if you look, there's the other two big piles
right.
We still have to screen.
Right.
There's one of the big piles.
Right.
And here's the zones
right.
that'll be coming off. So. But that's Larry right there, just to give you an idea of how big the pile is.
So, and what's the story with Billy? Like, he's reached his limit, is that it?
Yeah.
He's reached his limit.
And he had, you know, first off, I want to be abundantly clear. Like, Willie doesn't sell compost. He just delivers it.
Yeah, no, I got it. It's just, you know.
No, I don't know. Some people, there's an illusion that he's, like, stockpiling and selling. He doesn't. He doesn't have a bobcat or anything. He just, and he doesn't make any money off the compost. He's just delivering it. So, and I'm trying to stay out of it, but for the life of me, right, I don't understand. And I know we have to have policies in place, so forgive me for saying this, but I don't understand how we can tell people who want compost who can deliver it for them. That's the only thing I don't understand. So it's like, you can get compost, but Willie can't deliver it. So if Willie's 35 to deliver it and somebody else wants 200, is what they're dealing with. The only reason why Willie is so in demand is because he does it so cheap. It's not because he's the, you know, he's the nicest guy in the world. He's just, I think he's nice, but not as my brother. He's not, but you know, he's really cheap.
There's a little nepotism there. Eh?
So you have to tell these people that, you know, you have to pick somebody else who's more expensive because Willie's at his limit as far as delivering it.
What about the limiting legislation that we're dealing with? Should we be talking about that being removed or doing something about it?
What legislation?
The
regulations, you mean, about composting?
Yeah.
Our policy limits?
Yeah.
Well, that's...
Well, there's no regulation on it.
We have our limits.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
about. I'm
not
authorized to make any changes to the limits. I just wanted to update everybody on where we stood in case anyone wants to make any changes to the limits.
We have one
customer who has, you know, we've cut him off because he reached the 500... ton limit and the board's authorization.
Which is Willie.
To go.
That's Willie you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see. And so when we go over the composting policy, that we're going to be considering that. Is that right? That's kind of...
I think we're going to consider the policies
there are
as,
many
a,
things,
as a whole.
But yeah, but that's one part of that will be considered.
Yeah, if you want to increase the annual limit, if you want to increase... Because we ran into some operational stuff we found out with regards to limiting like per transaction because, you know, sometimes a bucket load weighs this much, sometimes it weighs this much.
Depends on the weather.
The loaders are estimating, the people loading are estimating, you know, as they fill up a trailer or a dump truck, and I get a phone call, oh, they're at 20.41 ton, they're over, what should I do? It's like, well, I can't have you take it off their truck because I don't want any damage in their vehicle.
Right.
So, yeah, just make sure, you know, we just make sure that they're not making the decisions at the scale, they're getting authorization from somebody else to do so.
Right.
So is it being
sold by weight? So if it's been raining, you get a heavier.
Heavier.
Yeah.
And you run into that, and I've had people say, oh, you should just do yards. And it's like,
uh-huh.
You know, we have scales.
We can't.
Yards is all estimate.
Right.
You want to open yourself to a can of worms of risk and
right.
everything?
Yeah.
Right.
But no, just use the scale. Right. I understand. You got to, you know, you got to pick one.
Got to do it.
That's our measurement.
We have
place.
Scales. We can measure it actually by volume. I mean by weight.
Right.
But that's the way it is. Don't mess around with estimating
right.
yards at all.
And I don't know if the number's correct. We have guys with triaxles doing large jobs. You know, the guy gets two loads and he's done.
Yeah.
He's got to come back another day. He's
yeah.
like, look, I got a whole project. I mean, a whole
right.
yard at a complex, you know.
Right.
So it really, in a lot of ways, it doesn't make sense if we're trying to sell and move compost.
Right. So, I mean, that's the, if you guys could, you know, just amass those issues for when we look at this policy, all that would be
and
very
that was
valuable.
The plan. Right.
And we pour it on Greg.
I always, when I always look at things like from a regulation standpoint, right, and policy, but mostly I just look at things from a regulation standpoint. You know, you look at the, you know, the intent. So what was the intent of the policy in the first place, right? To make sure not one person is getting everything and it's available for other people.
Right.
Well, right now you have about, you know, 1,000 tons of material that's sitting idle that you're refusing to sell to somebody for that policy. And that's not the intent of the policy.
Right. I mean, you know, obviously the other side is we got crap thrown on us over this thing. We don't want to, we're just trying to avoid more crap getting thrown on
us. But the board, but the, you know, the board controls this agency.
Yeah, so we will talk about
it. No, I know.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is that, you know, those people who are throwing this crap on it don't realize that the board makes the decisions. They don't. So the board can do whatever it wants.
Yeah, of course. But we are trying to avoid
And the people, these people that are, they're lawyers and accountants. They're not even accountants, really. Kim's an accountant. Those people out there, they don't understand the operation of things.
So we're going to look at that. I mean, Kathy, you said I should be on the governance committee, but I think last time we talked about this, there was a question about the number on the committee, because once it's three, then it's a board meeting, and I don't want to mess that up at all.
Yeah, no, it's an open meeting.
It's
yeah,
okay.
That's it. We announced the committee.
Okay, because I just feel like my wordsmithing skills
right.
will
no,
be valuable
I
for that.
You want to be there, we want you there.
Did you get I sent out the link with all the committee assignments that we had.
Oh, you did? I didn't see that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, I missed it.
Because that's on our website under the About Us, Authorities Budget Office.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because we have to have the committees posted on there.
The other thing I want to say, you know, Margo, you know, what they, you know, one of the things that she complained about was just not maximizing profit,
right?
But it's like now you have 1,000 tons of material that's sitting idle.
You're not
making a profit on
which
that.
If we're going to discuss that,
it should be in somewhere else.
Well, I move to adjourn unless there's more.
I do a request if we could just move to executive session for litigation purposes.
Right.
Okay. Move into executive session.
Second.
Okay. Executive session.
Charlie was making it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll second it.
Okay. All approved.
Yeah.
Aye.
All right. We're now out of executive session. Okay. We're back in session. Okay. Do I hear a motion to disband?
Aye. So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Yeah.
Aye.
Charlie and Margo.
All right.
So the next time we will see our new